In the book of Exodus, God in His love and power brings His chosen people out of Egypt. The children of Israel march out of Egypt and journey to Mount Sinai. In the book of Leviticus, God gives them His holy law at Mount Sinai. The book of Numbers is the story of Israel's journey to the promised land. Please open your Bibles to the beautiful book of Numbers, and let's look together at what God has for us in this wonderful book. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart and help you to understand the point of the book of Numbers? Help you to understand the message of the book of Numbers. You pray right now that God would speak to your heart and build you up. Would you pray right now for the other people in this room that God would speak to them powerfully through the beautiful book of Numbers? Open their hearts, soften their heart, and speak to them. Now would you pray for me that I would deliver this sermon accurately and therefore powerfully? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. We pray, God, not only for Trinity Baptist Church, but we pray, God, that your name would be glorified today as our brothers and sisters meet together all around the world. We pray that the word of God would be preached accurately. We pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, through the preaching of your word, would edify and build up your church today around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. I really want to encourage you again to give generously to the Gideons. Brother Jordan did such a great job of telling us about that. Amen. Such a great job of talking about how, giving those testimonies and talking about how we don't know whether it was our contribution to that ministry that paid for that testament that brought those people to Christ. So I really just want to encourage you to take that opportunity seriously as the men wait on you at the close of our service at the doors. As the book of Numbers opens, God commands Moses to take a census of the people. That is why the book is called Numbers. Some people think the whole book is just a giant census. And that is absolutely not true. People avoid Numbers because they don't want to read a big census. And brothers and sisters, the first thing I want you to know is that the census is a very small part of the book. It is a beautiful and powerful and important story. In your notes, I have it there for you. The book of Numbers is the incredible story of Israel's journey to the promised land. Journey. The book is given to the church to build us up. Moses takes the census at God's command, but he does not count the tribe of Levi. They are set aside to serve the Lord. After the census, the children of Israel celebrate the Passover, and then in the second month of the second year since they left Egypt, the Israelites break camp and set out for the promised land. But the people start complaining. They complain about the manna. They want meat. Moses comes to God and says, "How can you possibly provide meat for 600,000 men aside from women and children? We do a great job in our potlucks providing food for all of you, but there's only about 100 people here." Moses looks up and says, 600,000 men and their wives and their kids, how are you going to provide meat for all of them? Cindy, what would you think if I said, "We're having a potluck, there's going to be 600,000 men. Let me know how that goes." That would be overwhelming. Absolutely overwhelming. Turn to Numbers 11. Numbers 11. Numbers 11, 23. God gives a very simple and important statement. The Lord said to Moses, "Is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not." Skip to verse 31 and look what happens. "Now there went forth a wind from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea, and let them fall beside the camp about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits, that's 3 feet deep, on the surface of the ground. While the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very severe plague." So the name of that place is called Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had been greedy. Brothers and sisters, we learn a lesson from the book of Numbers. It's in your notes. God is good, and we should be thankful and content with His provision. God is good, and we should be thankful and content with His provision. God graciously provided them with manna, and they should have been grateful and thankful. God, in His goodness, the Word of God says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. God is good, Trinity Baptist Church, and He has poured out His goodness upon every single one of you. Be thankful. After this, Miriam, Moses' sister, and Aaron spoke out against Moses. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, 'Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has He not spoken through us as well?' And the Lord heard it." Now look at this statement, Trinity. "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. The Lord was very angry, struck Miriam with leprosy, Moses prayed for her, and she was healed after a week. The children of Israel have arrived at the promised land. In Numbers 13, Moses sends out 12 spies to look at the land. They spy out the land, and Numbers gives us their report. Moses sends out 12 spies. They look at the land 40 days. They come back, and their report is in Numbers 13, verse 27. Would you turn there with me, please? Numbers 13, 27. Thus they told him, this is their report, and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit." Moses said, "Bring back some of their fruit." And they brought back a single cluster of grapes that was huge. "Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Very large people. "Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan." Now Caleb can see where the report is going, and he jumps in. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people. They are too strong for us.' So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in theirs.'" Caleb said, "The land is great. God will give it to us." Joshua also had faith in God, but the rest of the spies, the other 10, said, "The land is great, but the people are too strong. The sons of Anak are there." You know, those big, big guys, they live there. Trinity Baptist, look at the response in Numbers 14. Look at this tragic, tragic response. Numbers 14, verse 2. "All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt! Or would that we had died in the wilderness! Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?'" Joshua and Caleb plead with the people. Skip to verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. They spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, or do not fear the people. Do not fear the people, of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. The people did not listen. Look at the Lord's response. Skip to verse 22. This is the Lord's response to their disobedience and unbelief. This is the Lord talking, verse 22. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who have spurned me see it. Skip to verse 28. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not come into the land in which I swore to settle you, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Your children, however, whom you said would be a prey, I'll bring them in. And they will know the land which you have rejected, but as for you, your corpses will fall in the wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness. They will suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the wilderness. Look what it says, Trinity Baptist. They said, we can't go up. Our children will be plunder. Look what God says. Because you didn't do it, your children will suffer. Until your corpses lie in the wilderness, according to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days, for every day you shall bear your guilt a year. 40 years, and you will know my opposition. They did not trust God. They disobeyed in fear. They had to wander 40 years. We pointed this out already. They said, if we go up, our wives and children will be plunder. That's the reason they gave. We can't do it. Our wives and children will be plunder. Would that have happened? No. They would have enjoyed the promised land. Verse 33, God says, since you disobeyed, your sons will be shepherds for 40 years, and they will suffer. What do we learn? We learned several things. Look in your notes. Number 3, God commanded them to do something they could not do without Him. And He does the same thing today. We must trust and obey. God commanded them to do something they could not do without Him. And He does the same thing today. We must trust and obey. The spies came back and said to the people, we can't do it. Was that true, humanly speaking? Yes. Bible scholar Jim George says they focused on the size of the enemy, not the size of God. They focused on the size of the enemy, not the size of God. We do the same thing, brothers and sisters. I do it. I do it. Don't focus on the size of the command, brothers and sisters. Look at Jesus' commands to us. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That is Christ's command to His church. Can you do that without God? No. Does God command you to do it? Yes. Luke chapter 6 Jesus makes this wonderful statement. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Why does he say that? Because you don't need God's help to love people that love you. Anybody can do that. But what about that brother in Christ? What about that sister in Christ that you have decided you can't love? God commands you to love them. Are you going to shrink back in fear? Or are you going to be strong and trust and obey? God commands you to do things you cannot do without Him. Trust and obey. Jesus has another command. We know it well. It's on your screen, Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. There are people in this room that are simply not obeying that command. You've decided that for whatever reason, you can't do it. Read the rest of the verse. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. God commands us to be His witnesses. God commands us to make disciples of all nations, and we cannot do it without Him. But He's with us, and we must do it. Will you shrink back in fear, or will you trust and obey? Another lesson we learn in your notes, God is faithful to keep His promises even when it seems impossible. God is faithful to keep His promises even when it seems impossible. We see this in the Old Testament time and time again. God promised Abraham a son. We saw that in the book of Genesis. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. God promised to give Israel the land. Israel got to the promised land, and the report of the 10 spies was accurate in its details. They were outsized and overpowered. But God is faithful. They should have taken the land, and they could have. Brothers and sisters, reading the Old Testament strengthens your faith. What else do we learn? Number 5. We must take advice from the godly minority, not the worldly majority. We must take advice from the godly minority, not the worldly majority. Brothers and sisters, there are hundreds of people that will give you advice. But there are just a few spiritually mature people in your life that are led by the Spirit of God and will give you godly advice. Listen to the godly minority. The children of Israel listened to the majority, and instead of receiving God's promised land, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. We must take advice from the godly minority and not the worldly majority. Israel turned away. And instead of taking the promised land, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. As they're wandering, Korah, a Levite, and 250 men rebelled against Moses and Aaron. The Lord put these men to death. The very next day, the people grumble against Moses again. And a plague kills 14,000 people. At the end of number 17, the people are scared. God is putting people to death for their sin, and the people are panicking. Look at chapter 17. Verse 12, the people cry out in terror. 17:12. Then the sons of Israel spoke to Moses, saying, "Behold, we perish. We're dying. We're all dying. Everyone who comes near to the tabernacle of the Lord must die. Are we to perish completely?" God is punishing sin with death. But God, in His mercy and grace, set aside Aaron and his sons as priests for the people. They would offer sacrifices to God for the people so the people could be forgiven. Trinity Baptist, next statement in your notes. The Old Testament greatly deepens your understanding of the gospel. The Old Testament greatly deepens your understanding of the gospel. Read these first five books of the Old Testament over and over and over and over again. And the gospel of Jesus comes to life. Keep your finger in Numbers and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Keep your finger in Numbers and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. You may be debating with a friend and you're saying Jesus never sinned and they don't believe you. Here's a good verse for you. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have the same problem the Israelites had. The penalty for sin is still death. And we all sin. Amen. God provided priests for them, and God has provided a priest for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. It greatly deepens your love for God. It greatly deepens your love for Jesus Christ when you realize, when you understand that the penalty for your sin is also death. But we have a high priest. In your notes, number 7, God in His love and grace has provided a priest for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. He offered Himself as a sacrifice on the cross so that all who trust in Him can be forgiven. You're in Hebrews. Turn a couple pages over to chapter 7, verse 23. the former priests, that is Aaron and his sons and the ones that came after them, the former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, our priest, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Why don't we go to hell? Because Jesus Christ is alive.
Amen.
And is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God as our priest today. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest. Look at this description of Jesus Christ. Holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. That is Jesus. Holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices. First for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He didn't have to offer a sacrifice for his own sin, because he has no sin. Because this he did. Offer up a sacrifice. This he did once for all when he offered up himself. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, you are a sinner. You have sinned. You are going to sin. And the penalty for your sin is death. Jesus Christ died on the cross to take the punishment for your sin. And if you will forsake sin and embrace the free gift that Jesus offers you, you will be saved. You will be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus Christ, please come and talk to the elders after the service is over. As we move on in Numbers, please keep your finger in the book of Hebrews. Don't leave Hebrews, but go back to Numbers with me and look at chapter 24. This beautiful blessing of Israel. Balaam is speaking, and God gives Balaam these words to bless Israel. Numbers 24:5. How fair are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens beside the river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from his buckets, and his seed will be by many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag. His kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He is for him like the horns of the wild ox. He will devour the nations who are his adversaries and will crush their bones in pieces and shatter them with his arrows. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares rouse him, blessed is everyone who blesses you. And cursed is everyone who curses you. Tragically, the people begin to hang out with the Moabites and the Midianites, bow down to their gods. God will not tolerate idol worship, as we have seen. So he commands Moses to execute some of the people. One of the Levites is jealous for God with a good, holy jealousy. He grabs a spear, kills one of the men that was sinning. His wonderful action on God's behalf stops God's judgment on the people. The people have once again arrived at the promised land. This is the second generation. Look at Numbers chapter 26 with me. All of the adults have died in the wilderness, as God had said. Now their children have arrived at the promised land a second time. And God commands Moses to number the people again. Numbers 26:63. These are those who were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who numbered the sons of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. They're at the edge of the promised land. But among these there was not a man of those who were numbered by Moses and Aaron the priest, who numbered the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. Not a man was left except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Only Joshua and Caleb are left. No one else will receive the promised land. I want to show you once again how studying the book of Numbers helps you understand the New Testament. Studying the Old Testament helps you understand the New Testament. I hope you kept your finger in Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked Me, as in the days of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried Me by testing Me and saw My works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They do not know My ways. As I swore in My wrath, they shall not enter My rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Trinity Baptist, we need to encourage one another to help each other not fall into sin. I need your help, and you need mine. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked Me. For who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? With whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? You should have more, Jessica. And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. You see, brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist, you cannot understand the New Testament without the Old. You cannot understand this passage without the book of Numbers. You must read the Old Testament to understand the New Testament. After the census, God appoints Joshua to take Moses' place as leader of Israel. And now Israel is ready, the second generation, they are ready to take the promised land. The Lord gives them some final advice. Look at Numbers chapter 33. Numbers 33, verse 50. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you cross over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, the promised land, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their figured stones, destroy all their molten images, demolish all their high places. And you shall take possession of the land and live in it. For I have given the land to you to possess it. You shall inherit the land by lot according to your families. To the larger you give more inheritance, to the smaller you give less. Wherever the lot falls to anyone, that shall be his. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come about. Those whom you let remain of them will become as pricks in your eyes and as thorns in your sides, and they will trouble you in the land where you live. God says, drive out all the people, all of them. If you don't, the people that stay will become a real problem for you later. And we're going to see how that played out as we continue through the Old Testament. Trinity Baptist, the people are ready to take the land. But before they march, Moses wants to speak to them before he dies. Moses wants to pour out his heart to them before he dies and they go into the land. Moses's powerful sermon from his heart to the people is the book of Deuteronomy. And that's where we'll be next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the book of Numbers. Thank you that you are faithful. We pray for Trinity Baptist Church that we would trust and obey. In Jesus' name, amen.